Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
FMR's Not the Daily News here on Classic Business is brought to you by 10X, an asset manager that delivers superior returns and an authority on wealth creation. 10X, your future. Now, Meta Platforms, Facebook as we know it, and its CEO Mark Zuckerberg has said that they're going to be cutting more than 11,000 jobs, the first major round of layoffs that we've seen in the social media giant's history, and the reductions equal to about 13% of the workforce. And the company is also going to extend its hiring freeze through the first quarter. And if you just look at the so-called FANGs, the share price movements in the year to date, Meta down 70%, Amazon 49%, Apple 26%, and Netflix 57%, and then Alphabet or Google as we know it is down 40%. And that's not from the peak share price. So no wonder Meta is firing. It just shows you how quickly and suddenly things have changed over in Silicon Valley. Well, to talk about this and whether or not this is potentially the end of an era for big tech, it's a great pleasure to welcome Kellen Pottier, who's a product development specialist at 10X Investments. Kellen, always a great pleasure. Where does one start to discern as an investor whether or not this is cyclical or structural?
Hi, Michael. I think as you've correctly pointed out, you know, there's been sweeping changes across tech, and we have seen a tech sell-off. You know, you run through the list of FANGs, and there's certainly a much more widespread sell-off. But it shouldn't come as a surprise to investors, because these changes do come amid slowing revenue growth, declining profit margins, and negative earnings surprises. And the key question really for investors and the companies themselves to ask is, how much of these changes are to be expected, given where we are in the cycle, you know, high interest rates, a slowing economy, high inflation, or how much of what we are witnessing is a structural fundamental change in US tech, which could be actually a reset going forward. And I think that's the question we need to grapple with.
That really is the big question. And while I often find acronyms useful, on one hand, they can also be misleading, because often you've got different drivers impacting differently on different companies inside that FANG basket. But just broadly speaking, from where you sit, do you think this is a more structural fundamental change to US tech, or is it just a result of this rising interest rate, tightening financial conditions, and so more cyclical in nature?
Well, we have to look at both sides of the argument. You know, certainly there is an element of financial gravity, right? One side of the story is interest rates. We can't ignore the impact of high interest rates on the derating of tech company valuations. You know, these are inherently businesses where the majority of their profits lie in the distant future. So they're long duration companies. And when you discount these cash flows back to today's value, the impact on the cost of capital, i.e. your interest rates, has a materially different effect on these companies relative to a non-tech company. But there is dispersion, right, even within the tech sector itself. But all companies at one stage or another move through different phases of the corporate life cycle, from startup to high growth before maturing and becoming mature growth and then stable companies and ultimately declining. And so here's where we have to be aware of the structural changes. From the structural side, tech companies have come from a world where growth opportunities abounded. In fact, they couldn't generate internal funds at a fast enough rate to pursue these investments and reinvest in growth. But these growth opportunities are not what they once were. You know, markets are nearing saturation, competition's increasing, the merger and acquisitions door is closed. We've seen a lot of regulatory pressure from an antitrust point of view. And overall, just mathematically, these businesses are too large to continue growing revenues at the rate that they once have. And so we now, for arguably the first time, are in a position where these businesses are finding that the profits they're generating are actually exceeding their investment choices. And if this is a structural change, more than just financial gravity, we have to think about what are the implications for a long-term investor.
That's a very good point that you raise, and I was just having a look at Meta's numbers as well, and it's certainly for the first time you are seeing a kind of peak plateau in new users. We know the millennials, Gen Zers don't really like Facebook all that much. But if these businesses are maturing, you know, if it is, you know, it's a natural life cycle event, this, what does this mean then? Can we as investors just expect these to become nice, defensive, dividend paying cash cows in the portfolio? What does that mean for an investor?
Well, if these businesses are maturing, then you're right. We may very well see tech companies shift from the growth darlings that we knew them to be before, generating insane growth rates and generating profits hand over fist, to what we would consider more traditional maturing cash cows. And so, you know, if this is the case, investors and the companies will need to recalibrate their expectations. So from the side of investors, you would have to come to expect further derating of valuations, recalibrate your expectations to only modest revenue growth going forward. From an earnings side, it is not the earnings we've seen in the past. It would be consistent mid-teens to double-digit earnings growth. If this is the case, then these companies could very well be amongst the likes of what we know as the traditional consumer staples or industrial cash cows like a Coca-Cola or McDonald's or Unilever. But, you know, it's important for the companies themselves to, you know, to read the room and understand what's happening within their businesses and what the market expects. And so from the companies, this introspection requires, you know, above the line discipline. If there is a structural shift, these companies need to focus on cost containment and operating efficiencies to boost their margins, right? That's all above the line, how you operate the business. And below the line, in terms of what you do with their profits, there needs to be a shift in focus from this high capex reinvestment to actually starting to pay out the majority of your earnings in the form of dividends and buybacks. And of course, there's implications for what does this mean for your capital structure based on where you are in the life cycle. These are critical questions that, you know, both the companies and investors will need to grapple with, and as they adjust, recalibrating expectations on both sides.
And given what you've just said, then I guess it is unsurprising that we are seeing certainly above the line decisions taken to look at the headcount, which has become rather bloated in Silicon Valley. I think during that extensive growth phase, it wasn't something that CEOs really had a, you know, particular focus on. And I think that now increasingly, to your point, will become more of the operating focus, as we see at Twitter as well, with Elon Musk going in there and telling everyone they can't work remotely anymore, and a whole bunch of layoffs as well. Kellen, we're going to have to leave it there. Fascinating chatting to you about this inflection point that we find in the era of big tech. Take care.
Thank you very much, Michael.
That was Kellen Portier, Product Development Specialist at 10X Investments in FMR's Not the Daily News here on Classic Business, which is brought to you by 10X Investments, an asset manager that provides investment solutions that deliver superior returns. 10x your future. Listen to Not the Daily News on FMR's Classic Business next Thursday, just before 20 to 7. 10x, an industry thought leader and expert to 10x your future. Visit 10x.co.za.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.